Hello. Welcome, everyone. It's a nice cold night. I've been freezing all day today, so, but I had to take my coat off and because I know I get warm up here. So, yeah, there you go. We'll blame it on the Lord. Okay, so let's just bow our heads and pray. Father God, we just welcome you into our service tonight, Lord. I just ask, Lord God, that you would have your perfect way in each one of us, Lord God. And I ask, Lord God, that you would just speak through me, Lord God. And I ask that you would prepare their hearts to receive from you your word, Lord God, that you have laid on my heart to share. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I know we're all familiar with the passage, Psalms 91, but I'm going to read it to you anyways. So if you guys want to join along, I don't know if Silas can put it up there. I'm thinking I'm reading out of the New King James. It would probably be nice if we could read it together. Sorry, Silas. Yeah. Unless everybody has it already. Okay. Okay. Let's go ahead. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yes.
That's good. And that I pray that the people over in Israel are praying that prayer.
Amen.
Because of God's protection. That's what they need right now. We all need it, you know, because we don't even know what's going to come down the road. But it doesn't matter because God is on our side and he is going to cover us and protect us. But the word shall is in this chapter 15 times. The word shall is to make a promise. So that's God's promise. This whole chapter is God's promise to us. God has promised in this chapter to deliver us from our enemy and to honor us. God has an honoring system. And because we belong to him, he honors us. And he honors us with himself. That's how he honors us. It's with himself. He holds the highest place of honor. And as we honor him, he will honor us. He brings us up higher. He's the one, when we acknowledge him, he acknowledges us. In verse 1, it says, he who dwells. He who dwells is to sit down in Christ, to inhabit or remain in him. And to remain is to stay put, not to move. Don't move out of God's will. Stay put in Christ. He who dwells in the secret. Secret is a cover. It's to hide in Christ, to be concealed by him. He's your hiding place. He's your secret place. I know a lot of times we think we have to get into the secret place. Well, we should be in the secret place all the time. It's not just on a schedule. We're in the secret place all the time because Christ is the secret place. And when you dwell in the secret place, you shall. It says you shall, when you dwell in the secret place, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So God is your covering. His presence is always around you and in your circumstance. Your circumstances are covered in Christ. We just have to believe it and walk in faith and see it through. You can rest in peace and comfort and stay protected under his shadow of protection, but you have to allow him to be your refuge and your shelter, because God resists the proud, but he'll give grace to the humble. So if we resist him, we kind of get out of his covering. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord. So the first verse was, he who dwells. So that's on us. We have to dwell. Now he's saying in verse 2, I will say of the Lord. We have to say it. When we speak out the word of the Lord, it affirms our faith in him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it doesn't just mean that we have to sit and listen to someone else. Our words are just as powerful as when Pastor speaks, when I speak, when Marianne speaks to the women. It's just as powerful. We can speak to ourselves out loud the word of God, and it carries that same power. It's our words have to go from just being head knowledge to an awareness that penetrates our heart, and speaking out loud plays a big part in that. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know, sometimes when we speak, because what's in your heart comes out your mouth, but really it enters here first. So what comes in here, you'll know what's in your heart, you know. So this verse, it doesn't mean just to think quietly. It's for us to communicate God's word. We're communicating God's word. We're communicating it back to him. It is full of living power. God spoke things into existence out loud. He didn't just think the thoughts. He had to speak the thoughts. He had to speak his word. He had to speak what was in him out. Isaiah 55:11 says, he said, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. So when we speak God's word into a situation, it's the same power that goes with it. When our words line up with God's word, it does not return to him void. It won't return to us, because God will make sure it happens in our life. It prospers. It's effective because it's alive. It's got substance. Your words have power. And it holds substance to it. And substance is the faith. So our words should always be faith-filled. So in verse 4, the other thing I wanted to point out in here was verse 4. It says, his truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, I think it was probably about a year ago, I did talk on a Wednesday night about the shield. But tonight I want to bring up about the buckler. And truth in the Strong's Concordance is emeth, which is stability. Figuratively, it means certainty, truth, and trustworthiness. The truth of God is stable. It's certain and it's trustworthy. So his truth shall be your shield and buckler. We cannot know the truth without knowing Jesus first. We have to know Jesus. We have to be in a relationship with Jesus. We can't just call ourselves a Christian and not have a relationship with God. We have to know him personally. And those who don't know Jesus, their father is the devil. John 8:44 says, "You are the father, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." So anyone who's without Christ is a child of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. So there's no truth in an unbeliever. They have to be taught. They have to learn, just like we all did. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But Jesus is truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is a source of all truth because he is truth. Truth proceeds from the nature of God. It's his self, it's self-expression of God. It is just him because he is truth. The sun reflects God's own glory, and everything about him represents God exactly. So he is in the Father's in him, we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. So we reflect truth. So it's important that we are walking in faith and reflecting the truth of what we learn from the Word of God. And if I say it 1,000 times up in this pulpit, we really need to know the Word of God. Yes. It is so important to know the Word of God, especially in these last days and in this time, because that is our weapon. The Word of God is our weapon, and that's the only way we're going to be able to defeat the enemy is through the Word. Because he doesn't care about you outside of Jesus. He doesn't care. He'll wipe you out. You have to be in Christ. The Word of God is truth. John 17:14 says, "I have given and delivered to them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you will keep and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourselves, make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth." So Jesus here is referring to his teachings. When he said, "I have given them your word," that's what he was talking about, is the Father's teaching. When the Father would talk to Jesus, and Jesus always did and said what the Father told him to do and say. So he taught them the Word of God. And we know that truth, and we know the truth, once we hear it, we know it makes us free. John 8:31 and 32 says, "So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples.'" So it's the word that shows others who we are. You know, we're sanctified. We're being made holy. And so when others see us, they just know who we are. "And you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The word of God is inspired by God, and it teaches us how to live a right life. It helps us to realize what needs to change in us. It keeps Jesus at the center of our lives, and it points us always to him. From front to cover, it's always going to point to Jesus. The Spirit of God is truth. John 16:13. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father, he will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. So the Spirit of God leads us and guides us into all truth. He represents Jesus and acts on his behalf. He's our helper, and he always will bring into remembrance his word, God's word. He'll always bring it to our remembrance and help us when we need it. God is unchanging in his nature, and he is true to his word, and he will keep every promise he's made. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God's promises are always yes and amen to those who are in Christ Jesus. So we act on his promises, and he gets the glory. That's why I thought about that, and I thought, wow, God, all the promises that are in the word, God wants us to act on. Because when we don't act, he doesn't get the glory. We have to act on those promises so he can get all the glory. So God wants us to remind him of his promises. In Psalms 119:49, it says, remember fervently. And I know Pastor brought that word up on Sunday about, I can't remember the definition of it. Yeah, but we need to be fervent about the promises of God. You know, we need to be fervent in prayer, but we need to be fervent in our walk with God and in walking out the promises, you know, that he has for us. Because they give us hope. And we need that. We need that hope. He's a faithful God. He always does what he says he will do, because he will not deny himself, because he can't deny himself, because he is truth. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And Psalms 145:3, it says, the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. And then in verse 4 in the NLT, it says, his faithful promises are your armor and your protection. So it's the same as the truth is your shield and buckler, but in the NLT, it's worded, his faithful promises are your armor and your protection. His promises are our armor. Now, the truth shall be your shield and buckler. So the truth and the word is what protects us. A buckler is a defensive weapon. It's a small shield used for warfare, but mainly for civilian use. It wasn't necessarily considered as part of the armor because it was used more for hand-to-hand combat. The shield is armor. It is passive protection. The buckler is used actively for fast and quick combat. You are ready for anything because you would not know what you would be facing on a day-to-day basis. So you have to be ready. It does not cover the whole body because it has to be able to move around quickly for those in close contact fighting. It was carried on the left side of the body close to the sword. You would pull the sword with your right hand and grab the buckler with your left with outstretched arms. The buckler shielded the sword hand position from the opponent's view, keeping them guessing your next strike. So remember, the enemy always wants to come at us. But here, when I was looking this stuff up, I thought, wow, we should be keeping the enemy guessing. not the other way around. We should be striking at him all the time. So you could bind an opponent's sword hand or catch an opponent's blade, pushing them back and cutting or thrusting your opponent with your sword. The boss, which is, if it's squared, round, whatever, they came in different shapes. The boss is the center metal part. It could be used to directly attack an opponent by punching with it, either its flat face or its rim, because some were constructed with long pointed bosses and sharp rim corners, or they had some spikes on it. So they could really wound someone, your enemy. God has given us his word to defend ourselves against the enemy. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I read that again because it says a double-edged sword is what makes it easier to penetrate your opponent, cutting both ways and doing great bodily damage. That's what a double-edged sword does. It also says you have to use the buckler with an outstretched arm. When holding a buckler with an outstretched arm, it obscures the opponent's view. Because when you hold, if I hold something close up to you, it looks small. But if I stretch it out, it looks bigger. So that's what they did. They held out their arms. They outstretched their arms. Because when you hold some, okay, I already read that part. Okay. God rules with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. It signifies his power and authority. It brings deliverance and victory, and it brings healing, signs, and wonders. So when God stretches out his hand, even Jesus, when he was going to heal, sometimes he had them stretch out their hand, or he stretched out their hands, his hand. So in Deuteronomy 5:15, it says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." He also stretches his arm out to extend grace and restoration for his children. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. God's mercy is constantly upon everyone. And we need to pray for our enemies that the mercy of God would be over them. Yes. Psalms 98:1, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory." So David claimed God as his buckler, and he wrote a song of deliverance in 2 Samuel. "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." So we have to put our trust in God because we know he'll never fail us. He's our rock and our redeemer, and he alone will save us from our enemies. But I just want to say this. Sometimes fear can grab a hold of us. And sometimes fear, when we get face to face with fear, it can be intimidating. But that's when we have to stand on God's truth and his word. That's why we need to know the word. Because we don't know all the time what we're up against. And we have to be aware of our enemy, and we have to be aware of our armor. It's important we know our armor, especially now. And I just want you guys to know that Get into the Word of God every day. Study it. I've asked the Lord to help me to study. Teach me how to study to show myself approved. So you guys need to ask the Lord to teach you, the Holy Spirit to teach you how to study, to show yourself approved, because that's what the Word of God tells us to do. Because one day we are going to need that Word. We're going to need to know it, because when fear comes face to face before you, you're going to need to know it. Father, I just worship you. I praise you and I glorify you. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, that you are our protector.
Yes.
You are our shield and our buckler, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you, Father God, that your word is truth.
Yes.
Your word is our sword, Father God, against our enemy. Lord God, we stand on your word. We stand on it, Father God, because it is faithful. You are faithful because you are God. You sit on the throne. You are sovereign. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all those who dwell within it. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I thank you, Father God, that you are with us. You abide with us. You cover us as we stay in your shelter, Father God. You breathe on us. You sing over us. You rejoice over us, Father. And I thank you, Father God, because you are a God of love and kindness and gentleness. But you also are a God of justice. You are powerful and you are mighty. You are the great I am. You are El Shaddai. You are sovereign. You are Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. I thank you, Father God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I welcome you into this city. I thank you, Lord God, that this city is a place of refuge. I thank you, God, that you are turning things around in this city. I thank you that you are touching every family, every home, every child, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that your spirit is moving in this city. Lord God, I thank you that you are bringing salvation to every person that doesn't know you, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for Living Waters Chapel to open up our mouth and speak your word, to speak your truth, that it would pierce the heart of the listener, Lord. Father God, open doors for us. Open doors for us. Tune up our senses, Father God.
Yes.
Tune us up, Father God, that we will be able to speak that word when you say speak, and we will go when you say go.
Yes.
Lord God, your love is shed abroad in our hearts. And Lord, I thank you that your love goes before us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that we walk in your love and in your kindness. Jesus, 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 lover of our soul, you make us whole. Praise you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor, Jesus. We worship you this night, Lord. We praise your holy name. For you are God, you are King. And to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. Glory to your name, Lord. The name above every name. Every knee has to bow before the name of Jesus. So we come against all the demonic spirits. We command you to bow before the name of Jesus over this city. This city does not belong to you. It never will. This city has been marked and sealed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Praise you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our families, in our children, in our grandchildren, Lord. I thank you, Father God. You are the God of the impossible. You make a way when it seems to be no way, Lord God, because you are true to your promises. You uphold them, Father. You uphold them before you. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for your cross. Thank you for your nail-pierced hands. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in you for the pulling down of every stronghold, Lord God. And we pull every stronghold down over our families and over the people in this city. We pull it down in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men in this city and in this nation. I pray for Michigan, Lord. I pray for Michigan, Father God. I pray for those in leadership over Michigan, Father God. Lord, speak to them now. Speak to them. Cause them, Lord God, to fall on their face before you, to turn from their wicked ways, that you might heal Michigan. Restore us, Lord God. Lord God, they say so many things about Michigan. Hidden things, Lord God. But you see it all. You see everything hidden, Lord God. Nothing is kept secret, Father God. You bring it to the light. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are taking care of it. Because you are our shield and buckler. I thank you, Lord God. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Father, watch over our children. I pray for a covering over every school in this state of Michigan. I pray for a covering, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you would send your ministering angels all around our schools, Lord. Protect them from any harm. Keep them safe, Father God. Yes. Lord, I pray that you will bring to light any harm that may be coming to any child, Lord God. Bring it to light and resolve that, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Be their defender, Lord God, because you're the defender of the innocent, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.